much biology.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Continuing now the series where I'm trying to bring onto the radio the authors of the weekly article in the Pensacola News Journal about the 200th anniversary of Escambia County in Pensacola coming up here this summer. I think it's a really cool project that they're doing, and I wanted to give you a chance to hear directly from some of these historians and experts. Dr. John Wirth is an anthropology professor at the University of West Florida. In this week's article, he was joined by Dan Helms, who is the chief of the Santa Rosa Creek Tribe. We weren't able to get him on at the same time. But Dr. Wirth, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
You know, when I first saw you, absolutely. And when I first saw this article on Sunday, I thought, oh, of course. But it's exactly the kind of thing that you could have easily forgotten to include, which is the history of indigenous people in this area throughout the time as we're celebrating the 200th anniversary and colonialism and exploration and expansion. It would have been very easy to forget this slice of the people's history here. And so I'm really glad that you included it. I'll give you kind of carte blanche. What do you want to tell people about the history of the various tribes and peoples here in the Escambia County area?
Well, Pensacola and the Escambia County area have a really long history, of course. Were originally inhabited by people right after the Ice Age. So there are thousands of years of Native Americans living in the area. When the Spanish first arrived, there were indigenous groups called the Ochuse, and then later the Pensacola, which is where our city's name comes from. But what happened over the years is that depopulation resulted in a decline in overall Native American inhabitants in our region. So when the Spanish set up presidios, they brought in, actually, people from the missions, the Native Americans who converted to Christianity, the Apalache and Yamasee. But after the Spanish left, the Native groups actually left with them. And so afterward, it became a region where interior groups, known as the Creek, collectively, began to trade and interact and eventually move into the area. So the Native Americans really never went anywhere, but we had a succession of groups that actually lived right here on Pensacola Bay.
It seems to me, and forgive me for saying what I think we'll all acknowledge is true, that there's a perception. We know there are different tribes, we know there are different peoples, but we still tend to kind of think, well, it's the Native Americans, or maybe it's the, you know, something like that. And what your article points out is, and even as you just mentioned, it's very much this group came and worked, and then this other group was brought in, and then they left, and now we have the, for example, the Creek coming in. That very much a shifting dynamic of which tribe, or which now we might call them a nation of Native Americans, were involved in Pensacola's history, right?
Yes, and in fact, The presence of Native Americans in our area was pivotal to the success, actually, of any colonial effort. Even from the very start, the Spaniards recognized that indigenous people in our region, they had essentially made really good relationships with them. And so through trade or missions or various types of interaction, the Spanish intentionally attempted to attract Native groups, depending on whoever they were and who was available. So eventually, of course, it was the Creek that became the most dominant force in our area, and thus Pensacola ultimately became inhabited by a lot of the Creeks who have gone nowhere. They're literally, their descendants are still here in our region, even though they were initially at least suppressed and oppressed, and ultimately, you know, most of them moved out west to Oklahoma. But our area still does have lots of people with indigenous ancestry, and the Santa Rosa Creek are a good example of that.
Now, you said the survival depended on interaction with them. Was that largely because of, for example, their capacity to hunt and to then trade with the folks who had established Pensacola? Is that primarily the benefit?
That was the benefit in the later colonial period, particularly under the British and Anglo-American model, which really required vast amounts of land. So, in other words, you talk about treaties and cessions of land, but what they also wanted to do is continue to interact and trade. But the Spanish actually earlier depended on labor. They actually brought very few Spaniards, but ultimately the whole Spanish colonial system was set up on incorporating indigenous populations into a sort of a feudal agrarian system. So farm workers and farm production was all based on that kind of interaction, which was very different than just trade.
Okay, so a labor force largely as well. That's interesting. Okay. And then, you know, one part of your article, and I thought this was so interesting because as soon as you said it in the article, it was obvious to me that this is a good question. We tend to think about the relocation of Native Americans to Oklahoma, obviously, which was a major historical event. But the tribes, some of them stayed and persisted through that time and survive until today through what can only be described as a kind of a repression or oppression that was only released really in the 60s with the Civil Rights Act, right?
Yes, and in fact, I guess what the removal, the Indian Removal Act of 1830 accomplished, of course, ultimately was the obligated relocation of the tribe, the actual kind of governing bodies. And so the bulk of the population was relocated, sometimes forcibly. In Florida, of course, the Seminoles were rounded up and shipped away, and that's the case with the Cherokee and many others. But what happened was that in West Florida, by that time, you had a lot of people from the Creek heartland who had moved into this area when it wasn't U.S. territory. And the Spanish more or less welcomed them, or at least weren't able to do much about it, and so they continued to trade. And so in the end, what you ended up with were groups of small families. They were relatives to one another. They were cousins and kin and friends, but they sort of, the ones that didn't get rounded up, sort of assimilated in some sense, but they maintained their identity. They maintained their knowledge of their culture and their ancestry, and so it took them a century or so to be legally able to sort of surface, but that's what's happened. It's really interesting. My co-author, Dan Helms, actually made a really good metaphor, is that the more the government tried to bury the culture of his ancestors, that essentially acted like seeds. By burying them, they were seeds that grew, and so over the course of time, they flourished, and they're still here today.
Really? I have one other question I definitely want to ask you to follow up on that, but let me get a quick traffic rate. We're talking to Dr. John Wirth. He is an anthropology professor at UWF, the author of this week's historical piece in the Pensacola News Journal about the 200th anniversary of Escambia County coming up. Dr. Wirth, I'm going to ask you a very dangerous, difficult, and presumptuous question for you to answer, because you are who you are, and you're not Dan Helms of the Santa Rosa Creek Tribe, but your whole article and what we talked about this morning makes me have to ask this question. The Native Americans who still survive here, the Porch Band and the Santa Rosa Creek Tribe, how do they view, if you wouldn't be so bold as to say, how do they view Escambia, Pensacola, and this impending 200th anniversary? Is it something that involves them? Is it something that's happening to the other people? Kind of what's their perspective on what we see as a big celebration?
Well, as you say, I wouldn't presume to speak for them, but by my interactions and knowledge of kind of the current scene, I think the general sense is that the Native community in our area feels like they want to be a part of this. In other words, they have been a part of Pensacola's history ever since literally the beginning of its transfer to the U.S. and earlier. And so I think, even though obviously there's some negative aspects, obviously, to the history, I think the key is that the big message is that they're still here and that this is their history just as much as it is the history of the descendants of the Europeans and others who arrived here. So essentially, basically, our Native American community is fundamentally a part of Pensacola. And so that's sort of one of the biggest messages, I think, to carry forward.
I love that. And I certainly hope that that is true and that we can make that feel more like a reality for them as we move forward. And so that honestly, they won't be a them so much as a us. I hope that's true. Maybe we can have Chief Helms on to talk about this in the future. Well, Dr. John Wirth, he is an anthropology professor at the University of West Florida. Dr. Wirth, great to talk with you this morning. I tell everybody every week, but I really appreciate you guys doing this historical series and being willing to come on the radio and share some of it with our audience. Thank you so much for the time.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to do it.